Has there ever been a time when you want to throw your hands over your ears and say, shut up, shut up. I don't know what to do. Quit telling me what to do. I want to do what's right. I want to know what's right. And I am so confused. Or are there times when you take your fingers and put your fingers in your ears and say, I'm not going to listen? What are the consequences of that? We'll talk about it today. There are lots of voices, aren't there? And they're all vying for our attention. And they're all trying to tell us what we ought to do, how we ought to live, how we ought to think, how we ought to behave, what is right and what is wrong, or there is no right and there is no wrong. And then there's another voice, and that's the voice of God, and it's found, my friend, in the Word of God. And this is the one true voice that you need to listen to. When we go to the book of Daniel and we open that first chapter and we begin to read those first verses, what we see is the consequences of listening to the voice of others, to listening to the voice of false prophets rather than the true prophet, because the false prophet's message was so much easier to take and so much more, in a sense, gracious, in that it allowed us to live any way we wanted to live and get away with it. It allowed us to freely express ourselves and do whatever we wanted. And yet there was one lone voice in Israel at that time in the land of Jerusalem, and that was the voice of Jeremiah speaking the word of the Lord. And what did the people do? They didn't put their hands over their ears and scream, shut up, to the false prophets. Rather, instead, they put their fingers in their ears. And when they put their fingers in their ears, they wouldn't listen to the true prophet. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 1. And let me give you the setting on the introduction into this man by the name of Daniel and his three friends. You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, although those were their Babylonian names rather than their Jewish names. Let's read it. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, and if you have your study guide, I would suggest that you just use your study guide unless you're using a New American Standard. So you're reading along with me, and we're reading from the same translation. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. Now, the land of Shinar, present day, is present day Iraq. So you see the connection. It's a land that was still there. This was a real place. This was a real nation. And this is the nation of the future. Because when you study the book of Revelation, you see God talking about Babylon, that great city. So you've got to know that a lot of focus is going to be on that part of the world in the last days, and we're in the last of the last days. In these last days, a lot of the focus is going to be on that part of the world, because that's where the action is going to be, even as it was in the action of the days of Nebuchadnezzar and Jehoiakim and Daniel. And so it says, verse 3, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the king of his officials, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom there was no defect, who were good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered them to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated for 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. And among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel, whose name means the judge, my judge is God. My judge is God. So here is Daniel being taken in to this Babylonian culture, where he is going to be taught not only the wisdom of the Babylonians, but also the language of the Babylonians, so that he might be indoctrinated, so that he might be carved and shaped and sculptured into a man who is fit to serve in the king's court. Here is a young man that is taken from his culture, which is entirely different, which is a monotheistic culture, into a polytheistic culture. Monotheistic, one God. Polytheistic, many gods. They are going to take this man and take him away, so to speak, from the wisdom that he has been taught as a Jewish lad, which is the word of God, and they're going to put him in a culture that does not even acknowledge that God is God, that Yahweh is God. And they're taking him into this culture, and he is going as a captive. I mean, just can you see the chains around my hands as I pound them together? Just imagine, he's going in chains all the way up, so to speak, to Babylon as a conquered person to the country that has conquered him. Some of the vessels of the house of God are following him on that journey. They are going to be put into the house of Nebuchadnezzar's gods. Now, what does that say? Well, in that culture, this is what it said. In that culture, it said, hey, listen, our God is stronger than your God. Nya, 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 by God, stronger than your God. You know, your God's nothing. We conquered you. We conquered you by our gods. Your God could not defend you. And this is why you are captive. This is why you are our slave. Now, just imagine, here is a youth being taken in his prime into Babylon, and in all probability being castrated, losing his manhood, so to speak, because he's going to serve in the king's court, and usually it was eunuchs that served in the king's court. We're going to look at that a little bit later. How old is this youth? Well, in Jewish reckoning, a youth was anywhere between 15 and 20 years of age. So let's say he was 15, or let's say he was 16. When you go through the book of Daniel, you're going to see that Daniel lives to be a ripe old age. He lives to be an old, old man, a wise, wise old man. And you're going to see all of this. I can't tell it to you all at once, and I want you to see it as we study inductively. Remember, we're looking at the Bible inductively. Inductively means we're observing what it says. We're discovering what does it say, and then we're going to understand what does it mean. So we move from observation to interpretation and then application. Okay, now how do I live in the light of this truth that I have just read? And believe me, the book of Daniel is truth. I mean, the whole Bible is truth. But you see the personification of truth in the prophecies that are laid out years before they ever come to pass, and you see them in history come to pass in all of their accuracy. Well, now you've got the atmosphere. It's the third year, according to the book of Daniel, of King Jehoiakim, and it's Nebuchadnezzar coming to Jerusalem and besieging it. Now, when we get to Daniel chapter 2, what we see in verse 1, it says, "Now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar." Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. So this has to be in the first year of his reign, because we find him in the second year of his reign having these dreams. So it is in Daniel chapter 1. It is the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, and Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. Now what I want you to do is I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 25, all right? Jeremiah chapter 25. And in Jeremiah chapter 25, it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying," you say, wait a minute, it was the first year of King Nebuchadnezzar, got that from Daniel, but this says it was the fourth year of Jehoiakim. See, the Bible can't be trusted. Listen, the Bible can be trusted. The problem is we don't know everything that we ought to know. Okay? So when you go to Daniel and you look at the book of Daniel, Daniel is writing from Babylon. He is writing from a Babylonian perspective, so to speak. So the Babylonians said that the first year that the king came to power was the year of his accession. And so he came to power, and then the next year, when the calendar year turned, and it didn't turn in January like it turns today, but when the calendar year turned, then that would be called the first year. So when you look at it from the Babylonian perspective, the third year of Jehoiakim compared to the Jewish perspective would be the fourth year of Jehoiakim. Okay? Now, what's the common denominator? The common denominator is this, that it's the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. And what's happening in this first year of Nebuchadnezzar? Well, the prophet comes and he's speaking to all the people of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he's saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, these 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, and you have not listened. You jammed your fingers in your ears, and you would not listen to me. You didn't want to hear what God had to say through me, because I was calling you to righteousness. I want to ask you a question just before we take this break. Do you not want to listen to the word of God because it puts you on a straight and narrow path that's so different from the rest of the world? And it doesn't give you the liberty to live as you want to live. Oh, beloved, listen, that straight and narrow path is a path of great security and a great blessing. And you don't want to put your fingers in your ears. You want to listen. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Jesus gave us the Great Commission.
He told us, "Go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you."
Go, make, teach. That sounds like meeting people and getting them into the Bible.
That sounds like inviting someone to your Precept Bible Study group.
Well, we released our Galatians Precept Upon Precept and In and Out Bible Studies last November. But one of the things we like to do is to see how we can increase participation in Bible study globally. We have people in a number of countries around the world who want to study with us. And so the Lord led us to decide, well, maybe we could have everybody around the world studying the book of Galatians at the same time, that they would be able to share around the world what that glorious book is doing in their lives. Visit precept.org/globalGalatians today.
I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. If God were to send a prophet today, He's not going to. In other words, there are gifts of prophecy. But if God were going to send a prophet today, what would that prophet say to us? That prophet would say to us, turn from your evil ways. Turn from your evil ways. Look at the society. Look at how it has broken my commandments. Look at how it has disregarded me. Look at how it has tried to push me into a corner and not acknowledge that I exist. Look at the things that it has tolerated, that this society has tolerated, that are direct contradictions to my word when you take it literally. Look at the society. And know this, that you are an evil and a wicked and an adulterous generation. And if you do not repent, if you don't have a change of mind, I'm going to have to judge you. Now listen, that message is in the Old Testament prophets. And you say, and why would God not send a prophet like He sent Jeremiah, or like He sent Daniel, so to speak, or like He sent Isaiah and the others, or Ezekiel? Why wouldn't He send one today? Because in these last days, God has spoken through His Son. He has said everything that He needs to say, and it's all here. It's all in the book, and it's here by example for us. These things that were written in the Old Testament were written for our instruction upon whom the end of the ages has come, that we might live with perseverance and that we might not be conformed to this culture, to the mores of this culture, to the thinking of this culture. And that we might have hope and that we might have encouragement because we know who wins, because we've read the end of the story, because we know what God says, because we understand the times, because God does nothing, as He says in Amos, but what He reveals it to His prophets beforehand so that you and I aren't left in the dark. God has spoken through His Son. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke in many times and in diverse ways, Hebrews chapter 1 says. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. The revelation is complete. It's in the Word of God. We're to listen. In the days of Daniel, in the days of Jehoiakim, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the revelation was not complete, but the revelation was being given ahead of time so that they, if they would listen to the prophet, they would know what was going to come to pass. Let's go back to where we left off in Jeremiah chapter 25. Because when you read the Kings and the Chronicles, you want to read the prophets. When you read Daniel, you want to understand what Jeremiah says, because we're going to see that Daniel read Jeremiah. If Daniel read Jeremiah, that's in Daniel chapter 9, you and I ought to read Jeremiah also. So this is what He says, the word came and you didn't listen. Verse 4, and the Lord has sent to you his servants, the prophets, again and again. But you have not listened. You have not inclined your ear to hear. You've cupped your ears and you've said, shut up, shut up, shut up. I don't want to hear that. Get rid of them. Or you put your fingers in your ears and you mean straight in your ears and you have leered at them and you have said, I don't believe that and I am not going to listen to you. He says, the prophets came, you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear, saying, the prophets were saying, turn now everyone from his evil way. And they would look and say, who are you to judge me? Who are you to say this is evil? Who are you to say that homosexuality or adultery or pedophilia or immorality, having sex outside of marriage, is wrong? Who are you to say that it's not all right for two people to live together, to cohabitate together, to have sex before they're married? Who are you? I mean, come on. Come on. Get in this century, will you? Listen, they wouldn't listen. They didn't want to hear what the prophet said. They didn't want to hear that their way was evil. And he says, and from the evil of your deeds, what you are doing is wrong. Listen to me, precious one. If you are having sex outside of marriage, and marriage is a man and a woman, and you know that marriage is a man and a woman, if you'll stop and just think about it, because two men and two women, or two men cannot produce a child, two women cannot produce a child. God made us male and he made us female, and he said marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God would judge. Israel was guilty of sexual immorality. Israel was guilty of that because, listen, spiritual adultery leads to physical adultery. If you would read the first chapters of Jeremiah, he would say you were like a horse, you know, just neighing after any other horse in heat. You were just running after them. You trooped down to the harlot's house. Ezekiel says, I mean, you just laid down under every green tree. God was trying to speak to them because, listen to me very carefully, when there's spiritual adultery, when you start flirting with other gods, when you start flirting with a god of this world, it leads to physical adultery. Physical adultery is just a sign of your relationship to God. It's a bad sign. And he says, turn now. The prophets were saying, everyone from his evil way and from the evil of your deeds, and dwell on the land which the Lord has given you and your forefathers forever and ever. If you will obey me, you will live in Israel forever and ever and ever and ever. They didn't have to be a captivity. There didn't have to be a Holocaust. But it's because they did not obey God. And he says, and do not go after other gods to serve them and to worship them. And do not provoke me to anger with the work of your hands, and I will do you no harm. Yet you have not listened to me. Now, every time I come to the word listened, I draw a green ear over the word listened. If it's not listened, then I put a slash through that ear to show that they hadn't listened. He says, yet you have not listened, declares the Lord, in order that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words. And I mark obey with a big red circle and I color it blue. And if it's not obeyed, I put a slash through it. He says, behold, because you have not obeyed, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord, and I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them and make them a horror and a hissing and an everlasting desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of a bridegroom and the voice of a bride and the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land, now listen very, very carefully, shall be a desolation and a horror, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. 70 years. This is the prophecy that Jeremiah gave. He says, you're going to serve for 70 years. You're going to be in captivity. You're going to serve Babylon. Now listen, 70 years. When did that 70 start? It started in the third year of Jehoiakim when Nebuchadnezzar came up and besieged Babylon. It started in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, according to Jewish reckoning, when Nebuchadnezzar came up and besieged Jerusalem. In other words, it happened, and that's when the clock started ticking, 605 B.C., Remember in our last program, we saw that there were three sieges of the southern kingdom, of the kingdom of Judah. And that first one was 605 B.C. Daniel was taken captive. The second one is 597 B.C. Ezekiel, along with 10,000 others, are taken captive. 586 B.C., they are destroyed. And they remain in captivity under the Babylonians until Cyrus, the king of Persia, sends a edict out saying you can return to your land. God wanted to get their attention. Let me ask you a question, beloved. Are you in trouble because you didn't listen to God? Are you in trouble because you cupped your ears, because you yelled shut up at somebody that was trying to tell you what that straight and narrow path was? Are you in trouble because you put your fingers in your ears and you just kind of, in a sense, stuck out your tongue at obedience, stuck out your tongue at this straight and narrow path? I want to tell you something. God's not through with you. God has you listening. Because God wants to turn you around and turn you inside out. And you know what? God can take you and use you, even as he took Daniel and used him. God is God, and he can be trusted. But you have to listen to him. You've got to listen. You've got to hear what he says. And that's why I'm so thrilled that you're listening to the program. I'm so thrilled that you're going to get your study guide if you haven't. I'm so thrilled that you're going to do a little bit of marking, a little bit of work, and a little bit of study, because you're going to learn so, so much that's going to help you to stay on that straight and narrow so that you don't have to suffer the judgment of God. Daniel was a man who was blessed greatly, because even though his circumstances were adverse, even though possibly he was castrated, he was a man who continued to listen to God. He was a man who continued to obey God in the most adverse circumstances a young man could find himself in. And God honored him. And beloved, that's an example to you. And God's saying, I will honor you also if you'll listen.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.